take up the offering. And Haley, go ahead and play for us. Great. We got not just one song, we got two songs out of that deal. Thank you, Haley. Lord bless you as you're learning and developing your talents. And it's hard to get up front in front of people sometimes. And to teach our children to do that at an early age is something we want to do and we want to encourage. So thank you, Haley, very, very much. A couple of announcements I want to share with you. A lot of busy things happening this week and over the next couple of weeks, but Tuesday night, Carolina Christian Academy will invite all of you to their Christmas program at 7 o'clock. This is their big program at the end of the calendar year, and all of you are invited to that. That's Tuesday night did I say 6 o'clock? It's at 7 o'clock, I think. And all of you are invited to that. Then on Wednesday night, we will not be having regular service, but we will be participating in ministry. We'll be doing caroling. I'm getting ahead of myself. Our caroling, and all of you are invited, young, old, middle-aged, wherever you fit on the age spectrum, all of you are invited. We want to be able to split up at least into two groups, if possible, to cover the different homes that we would like to minister to, places we like to minister. So please keep that in mind. That's this coming Wednesday at 6:30. We're going to meet here at the church and divide up and head out into the mountains. Go tell it on the mountains. We're going to do that on Wednesday. Then you should have received a candlelight concert flyer in your bulletin today. And that's for you to let you know that next Sunday evening is our annual candlelight concert. And the choir will be singing. The kids club kids will be singing. And Pastor the Pirate kids will be singing. We'll have a lot of music in that service. This would be a great service to invite someone that you've been looking for an excuse to invite to church. Maybe they came to Journey to Bethlehem, or maybe you've tried to get them here a time or two. This is a great excuse. So there are more candlelight concert flyers in the back if you'd like to take one home with you or a couple of them and hand them out to people that you know. Please do that. We'd love to have a good crowd. We usually have a great crowd on that Sunday night. During Journey to Bethlehem, you may have noticed when you came in, there was a welcome screen, something new that we did this year. And on that screen was a texting number that you could text to, and it links to Faith Community Chapel from Journey to Bethlehem. And sounds like they're excited in the other room. Oh, if we could only have a little bit of that energy these days. That's what I'm praying for. Pastor Jeff set some of that up, and in the past we have always had a communication card in the packets that we give out for Journey to Bethlehem. We're trying to connect with as many people as have goodwill or that the Holy Spirit's been working with. And I'm asking Pastor Jeff to come and share just a little bit about kind of what we did. And this will give us something to pray for as we head through the rest of the Christmas season. And Pastor Jeff, come share a little bit about what we're doing for follow-up.
Well, I'm going to try and just give you the quick version here tonight. But basically, follow-up, when folks come through, we want to stay connected. And that's our whole goal, whether it be texting, whether it be communication cards. And so we had a couple ways this year that we did that. We had communication cards in every program. By the way, we have some extra programs at the back if you'd like one when you leave, some JTB programs. But we had communication cards. And part of my job the last few days has been separating those from the statements they've made, the boxes they've checked. Some of them were interested in becoming a Christian. We had a couple people that said, I want to know what it means to be a Christian. I want to become a Christian. And so we're going to be following up with them. We had one lady we texted. We said, hey, we're praying for you. I want you to let you know. A prayer team will be praying for y'all's, quote, relationship and a blessed baby soon to come. And this individual replied right back and said, well, guess what? We want to thank you for praying. And we had our baby yesterday. So we had a quick answer to prayer for that one. But our main goal is to stay connected, to follow up, to reach out and to say, hey, we're here. We're at the end of Faith Chapel Road if you ever need us. And so that was neat. We had a number of some folks pray at the tent. And so be prayerful of those. We're going to try our best to compile a sheet, a list of requests that were mentioned on all these different cards here. And I told them we would be praying. So now we gotta keep up with that and really pray that God would work in each of these situations. We had a couple, three or four different ones interested in CCA, so I'm going to be forwarding them on to them. We had a few interesting comments I won't read, but generally positive, but one kind of a, oh, okay, we'll work on that kind of deal. But really, it's really neat to be able to see the different responses. And the different responses that we had about 163 total individuals either text in or submit communication cards. So that's, for me, maybe not for you, but for me, that's huge. And that's fantastic. That means we actually, it's like you draw the net and let it go otherwise. Whereas this way, we drew the net. And now we have some fish we can go and say, now, do you want to know Jesus, you know, so to speak. So that's exciting. And then we also, this year, we partnered with the Billy Graham Association, and we do have more of these. These are little booklets. It's the gospel is all it is, and it's a fantastic gospel message. If you're ever at your workplace and you wish you had a little pamphlet that had the gospel all over it, grab one of these, all right? I'll try and leave some at the back. It's steps to peace with God. And I handed these out at every car, sometimes two or three a car. And many took them. So one of our requests can be, God, as they read this, maybe as they reread it again, convict their hearts. And so pray with me to that end that God would continue drawing them to himself. Pray for us as we continue to follow up. Pray for these many requests that they shared. Some are more in-depth. Some are just pray for my family or my friends, but they're people that for whom Christ died and that we love and we care about. And so we'll try and get that list to you here soon. And so just continue to pray about the different ones that came. And as we continue to reach them, pray that they respond. Here's an encouraging thing as well. Last year, we had a number come through, and they came through the prayer tent. I wasn't involved in that, but we are still connecting with them. To this point, there are two or three different families that we are still on a weekly basis connecting with, calling, texting, whatever it's like. So that is fantastic, and that's encouraging. That means there's real fruit over time. I believe God's word doesn't return void, and I believe that seed that's planted will bear fruit if they can just allow it to grow. And so let's continue to pray that God would reap a harvest as we plant seed in whatever timeline he wants, but that he would reap a harvest. And continue praying for these ones, and we'll try and get you a list here soon. If you'd like some of these, I'll try and leave some of these at the back as well if you want some. Maybe you just want to take a look at it and see what we were handing out. So Thank you for the opportunity to share tonight.
One more question for you. The video that you showed to us, the testimony on Sunday night, was that a contact from last year, right?
That's right. That's right. So there was an individual that came through last year, and he and his family, and I don't know all the details, but I think Brother Tim Carter, who else was with that gentleman? Mr. Valdez, Brother Hemrick was there. Anyway, he came through last year, and he was just, we didn't really know the seed we'd planted, honestly. They just prayed with him. They weren't sure what happened. And I was able to follow up with him, stay in touch. And honestly, little secret here, I wasn't sure what had happened. I had done my best. Every few weeks, I'd give him another call. Sometimes he'd respond. Sometimes he wouldn't. And I just didn't know. I knew he had a church, or he tried to go. And I'm like, get back in church or whatever you got to do. And he ended up coming through this year. And on the last night, one of the last hour, I think it was, he came through and he said, thank you. And he said, you guys changed my life. And you never know what role we're going to play. You never know what God's going to do with our little efforts. But God can use it however he sees fit to make a difference. And that man, he shared it. He said, I said, can I take your video? He said, sure, I want to take. So he let me video him, and we shared that in one of the last nights at JTB, the afterglow sesh, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, you teens would appreciate it. Anyway, but we had, that was so encouraging because you never know. And maybe you're reaching somebody in the community, and you just don't know what's happening. God does. He's a big God, and leave it up to him and that person to just continue to reach out to God. So that was really encouraging to me. Don't give up. Keep working on those that you're trying to see one to the kingdom.
Thank you. I'm going to have you lead us in prayer in just a moment. Maybe we can put that video on a schedule, maybe before the end of the year, to show it to everybody. How many of you saw the video on the last Sunday night? Okay, most of you did. I'd like to see it again. It was a very encouraging video, especially with all the work that we did. Very rewarding, and I thank the Lord for that. So tonight, what I'd like us to pray for, this morning we kind of thank the Lord for helping us through Journey to Bethlehem and for blessing us with his presence. Tonight, I want to specifically pray for those that came through, and those especially that gave us feedback. I don't know how many critical cards we have, but just a few, he says. If we had one, that's only 0.012% critical, so that's a pretty good track record. I don't know if you're into percentages or not. We also had one person go in the ditch. That's 0.04% people that went in the ditch. So anyway, you think about the number of cars, over 2,000 cars, and all the people that come through. It's amazing that God gave us safety and protection, and we thank the Lord for all that. And then those that texted in, the communication cards, we live in a very technologically advanced society and everybody uses their smartphones. So that's a way that we were able to connect this year. But all those connections need to have prayer. A couple of Sunday nights ago, it's been over a month ago now, we made a list, an appeal on a Sunday night for prayer for our unsaved friends and family members. And some of you have this list. I have mine. I keep it in my Bible. It's a prayer list of unsaved individuals, and it is a long list of people that we are connected with. And now we can add to that list those that we've connected with that we've been able to communicate with for Journey to Bethlehem. So that's what I want to pray about tonight. Would you stand with me as we go, Lord, in prayer? And maybe you had a neighbor or a friend that came through JTB. Let's pray that the seeds that we planted would take root in their heart, and the Holy Spirit would be faithful to them. Let's pray together for this particular meeting.
Lord, we thank you tonight for your blessings to us, Lord. We're grateful for all that you've done through Journey to Bethlehem. And Lord, not just this year, but the last few years, all 6 years, God, we just want to say thank you. We worship you and praise you tonight. We're just vessels that you flow through. We're vessels that you use, God, And so we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you died, that you rose again, giving us hope and victory and freedom in you. And Lord, thank you for that message, that good news tonight. God, we pray for each individual that came through and the different ones that, Lord, we've been praying for. And Lord, the many individuals that are represented on these cards, as we connect with different ones, as we link arm in arm with our friends together, as we pray and lay hands on one another, Lord, and these ones, and we ask that you would be with them, Lord, that you would help them tonight. Lord, we've already visited with some, we've already contacted some, and Lord, we're grateful for the stories that you've already blessed us with, and the answer to prayer that you've done already. And Lord, yesterday as we were connecting with someone, Lord, it was an answer to prayer in that moment. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. But God, we bring to you this couple, as I'm thinking of this couple right now, God, we bring them to you. You know their circumstances, their background, everything, Lord. God, we pray for them tonight. God, we pray for this individual, Mr. Valdez, that came through last year. Lord, we pray for him tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to be with him and guide him and direct him and protect his family and keep him close to you. Lord, we pray for the other individuals that prayed at the prayer tent this year. God, we pray that you would be with them tonight, wherever they're at. Send your Holy Spirit to them to do business with you, God. Convict them and continue to draw them to you, God. Lord, we pray for our own family and friends and the different ones that are on our own hearts, God. And I'm thinking of an individual who he asked to be requested tonight. And Mr. Ronnie and Kayla, Lord, they came through last year. And so, Lord, we are continuing to bring them before the throne tonight, God. Thank you that you love them. You died for them. You care about them tonight. And God, we pray that you would be with them tonight. We think of some other individuals in the community. They came through last year as well. But Lord, we believe that you're a powerful God. And Lord, you can draw them to yourself. And so we pray that you would continue to draw them to you, God, even tonight as we pray. Thank you that you can be speaking to them this evening. Lord, we think of the many other individuals. Lord, thank you that you know each one by name. You know the hairs of their head, Lord. You know their every move, their direction, God. You know their number, and you know how to draw them to you. And so I pray that you would do that tonight. Whatever their circumstances are, give them hope this Christmas, found in you. Give them peace this Christmas, found in you. Give them joy, Lord, that can be found in you tonight. Help us, Lord, as we continue with the remainder of this service, as we continue through the Christmas season. May it not be just another season, God, but may it be a time that we ourselves, in the quietness of our own hearts, our own quiet time, Lord, we draw close to you and we continue to worship you and thank you for the gift of all gifts that you gave at Christmas, Jesus, as you came as a baby in a manger. Thank you for that. Help us now as we continue the remainder of the service. Be with Pastor Mike as he brings us the message in a few minutes, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and thank you for overseeing that follow-up, some of the changes we made going into Journey to Bethlehem this year, and Jeff's doing a great job with that, and I appreciate that very much. Part of all that has been possible because God has given us another pastor on our team. And I tell you what, I don't know what we did last year. I am very grateful for Pastor Mike's leadership, his ministry. Both he and Pastor Jeff have just come alongside me in a tremendous way. And I feel like we have an excellent team that God is blessing. And I'm anxious to hear from him tonight. Pastor Mike, would you come and share with us? And then at the end of the service, I'll share a little bit more about the JTB party tonight. But Pastor Mike, come and share.
Thank you, Pastor Heath, and good evening. Now, how long you want me to go, Pastor Heath? You're talking about short. How much time you need to prepare for this party?
I'm,
okay, let you. I can put my phone. I almost never have my phone with me at the pulpit, but I forgot to take it in my pocket. So you can text me a time, and I'll try to oblige. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, if you would. John chapter 1. I'm curious to know how many of you are going to be traveling at all over the next couple weeks. You're going to be several hands. It seems like going on a journey is just part of the whole ordeal of Christmas. And in the next couple weeks, the interstates are going to be filled with people who are making a journey somewhere for a Christmas destination. Some of you obviously are planning the same, and some maybe you'll be close to home, but you'll be headed to some family member's house, maybe not too far away. But don't you just love the feeling around Christmas where you've worked your last hour at the job, or if you're in school, all your last classes through and your last papers turned in, and it's finally Christmas break. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This feeling of almost, it's this huge, like this burden has been lifted, and you know that for the next few days, depending on how long of a break you get. I remember as a kid, we usually got 2 weeks off around Christmas, and I just thought that was wonderful. And I still think that's wonderful. But that feeling of just any of those obligations that you had, they're fulfilled, and you're free to make your journey somewhere to celebrate with your family. This year, Michelle and I, we kind of trade off every year from my parents to her parents as to which place we go for Christmas, and this is our year to go north. I guess we always have to go north now, to either her parents or mine, but to Canada. And so we'll be making the journey the Monday after services are done Sunday. We'll leave Monday and head north and come back on Friday. And that there's just this excitement in the air surrounding that whole scenario. But a journey seems to be part of the Christmas story. Who can forget about the journey of Joseph and Mary all the way to Bethlehem? Mary was great with child, and that night they made their journey all the way, trying to find a room somewhere to stay, but that's part of that journey. And of course, the shepherds who came that night, and the angels, when they appeared to these shepherds out of nowhere, and they said, "Go and look, and you'll find in the city of David, there's going to be one who's born. We're bringing you good tidings of great joy, which will be," the angels say, "Go and look for him," and the shepherds start a little journey. Of course, then, we can't forget about the wise men. You talk about a journey. These fellows, it would appear that for about 2 years, they'd been following that star, looking for this king that the star marked. And they go, and we really don't know where they came from. We don't really know where they went back home to. They just poof. Suddenly show up on the scene, knocking on Herod's door. Where is he? And as mysteriously as they came and they leave their gifts, they were gone again. But their journey is forever part of the Christmas story. But I think, and hopefully you'll agree with me. If you don't, you just talk to me later. Don't shout at me while I'm preaching. I think that the greatest journey was not the one that Mary and Joseph made. It's not the one the shepherds or the wise men. It's not the one that we make at Christmas time. The greatest journey that has ever been made was the one where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's amazing. We're going to ponder that a little bit tonight. Let's look at John chapter 1. We'll go to the Word, and let's just read the first 14 verses there. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, of course, this is talking about John the Baptist, who came and foretold of Christ was coming. That's who that part is being talked about there. Verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I'm not going to tarry on that thought, but that just think about that. Jesus gives light, this says, to every man coming into the world. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we'll stop there for tonight. But I want us to think about the fact that the Word became flesh. Of course, the Word that's being talked about, this is Logos. It's referring to Jesus. It's another name that is given for him. But the Word became flesh. Jesus, God, became flesh. And it's an incredible journey that Jesus made when he came to this world. So first of all, let's consider that the journey that Jesus made was a journey from heaven to earth. Now maybe that doesn't sound all that profound, let's just ponder that for a minute. All of us want to go to heaven, don't we? Now, I heard about a little boy one time who he was in church and the preacher was standing up and the preacher asked a question much like that. How many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody put their hand up, of course, except little Johnny. And the preacher noticed little Johnny didn't put his hand up, and so later he didn't embarrass him in front of everybody, but after church he pulled Johnny aside. He said, Johnny, I noticed you didn't raise your hand when I asked if everybody wanted to go to heaven. What's going on? And little Johnny said, oh, preacher, of course I want to go to heaven someday, but I thought you were gearing up a trip right now. We all want to go to heaven eventually, right? But just maybe not quite yet, you know. We sing songs about heaven. We preach about heaven. We long for heaven. We can't wait for this perfect place, this perfect environment, a place where there's no more weeping, no more wailing or crying, no more death, no dying, no sadness, no heartache, no more broken hearts or broken body, no more disease, no hospitals or funeral homes, no wheelchairs or crutches. It's a place where there is no more tempter and no more will evil ever affect us. That sounds like a good place to be, wouldn't you agree? A place that's perfect. I can't even hardly imagine what heaven's going to be like. A place of beauty beyond all ability for us to describe. The Bible describes gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of transparent gold. What we hold of so much value here that we think gold is very valuable up in heaven is just asphalt, right? That's what they pave the roads with up there. That's just heaven. A heaven that was created by Christ himself. And John says that there was not anything made that was made, but that he made it. He's the creator, the sustainer of all things. And yet, think about this. That's the place he left to come here. To come to earth. What do we experience down here? I'm not going to try to paint a picture that everything down here is terrible. God has given us so many good things to enjoy here. But would you agree with me? There's a lot of brokenness that is here. It's a place where when Jesus came, the Bible tells us, it describes as he lived his life, he was despised and rejected. Just think, this is the King of Kings. He comes, and we read it, he came to his own received him not. It's a place where he would be hated, a place where he would be spit on and eventually crucified. Why? Why would he leave the safety of heaven in exchange for the danger and the rejection here? Why would he leave his throne, his crown, and come to earth where he would be a stranger? Why? He left it all. I guess really the reason why is just because he loved us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But you think about it. He left what was comfortable and he came to earth where he was despised and rejected and killed. Now may I just note something about our Lord. And that is this. Maybe I've told you this before. I've only been here for a few months, so I don't remember what I've said or not said yet. But one of the things I notice about Jesus and that I love about our Lord is that he runs to the messes. Because in a world that is full of brokenness, and wherever there's sin, there's brokenness. Sin always has consequences, and they're not pretty. And my life has had plenty of brokenness. And you know what? In my life, he ran to the mess. He wasn't afraid of it. And some of you, I'm sure, have some testimonies of how in your broken state, Jesus came to you. Isn't it good to know that our Lord is not afraid of the brokenness? He's not afraid of the messes, but he makes that journey from heaven. He leaves the comfort that's there and he comes here to us. What a journey that is. And maybe that's why one of his titles is Savior. He runs to the messes, but what a journey he made, leaving the splendor of heaven to come here and to be born in the most humble of ways. Our world is filled with disease, broken hearts, shattered lives, with abuse, alcohol, a world of immorality, incest, and disease. And yet Jesus came. He journeyed from heaven to earth. The second thing, not only was it a journey from heaven to earth, but also just consider tonight that it was a journey from eternity to time. John talks about the fact that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And as I understand it, the Greek word used here is that of continuing, ongoing action. So it would read something like this. In the beginning was continuing the Word, and the Word was continually with God, and the Word was continually God. If you get that present ongoing action that's going on there. But John 1:1 is not telling us that Christ had a beginning. First time I, as a little boy, when I encountered this passage, I remember thinking, okay, he has a beginning, you know, but that's not what John 1:1 is saying, but rather that from the earliest beginning, he always was. It's interesting. It came up around our dinner table just in the past week. One of our kids said something about Jesus being, now has he always, when, like, because we're talking about him being born. It's like, well, so where did the starting block happen for him? And the answer is he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's outside of time. There was never a time when he was not eternally one with the Father and with the Spirit. He was forever one with them, this eternal one. He will always be. He's outside of time. Isaiah talks about the fact that he is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. And to think that this one who came from eternity, he steps into time is amazing. Quite frankly, I don't fully understand that. He stepped out of eternity and into our time to become caged by our calendars, our clocks, and our schedules. And Jesus came at the right time, didn't he? That's why Galatians chapter 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. And even though they may take the Christ out of Christmas in so many places around our country, and maybe at some of the department stores, they don't want to say Merry Christmas or things of that nature. But when Jesus stepped into time, he forever changed our dates from BC to AD because the eternal journeyed into time. What a journey it was. The third thing is this. Not only did he journey from eternity to time, but he journeyed from riches to rags. From riches to rags. Now, I didn't say that wrong. actually had to check myself. It was from riches to rags. We love the rags to riches stories, don't we? We all like those. In fact, if you don't believe that we like rags to riches stories, just have a seminar on how to get poor and see how many people show up. You know? But you have a seminar on going from rags to riches, and boy, everybody wants to show up, right? You know, tell me how to do it. We like those kind of stories. I read one. I guess it's probably a famous one, but it captivated me. It was this fella. His name was James. And he was the son of a poor, primitive Baptist preacher out in Missouri. He lived on a 400-acre farm. He was just small in stature, made fun of in school, wasn't very good at sports. Nobody ever wanted James on their team when they were picking teams. That's an awful moment if you've ever been in that one of those moments where they're picking teams and, you know, everybody's up against the wall and there's captains and they're picking. I've been the last one to be picked a time or two in my life, and that was James. He was poor. He was unpopular in school. He was made fun of because of the clothes he wore, even though he had to buy his clothes with his own money. He always had holes in the soles of his shoes. Dirt poor. But at 12 years of age, he decided it was going to be different for him. And starting at 12 years of age, he started selling some pigs and making a little bit of money. And from that, he started raising watermelons. But soon he realized that at 20 years of age, farming wasn't really what he wanted to do with his life. And so he got into the retail business. And he started working at a small store as a merchant. And at that, about 26 years of age, James went and he opened his first little retail store in the state of Wyoming, and he titled the store The Golden Rule. You say, well, was he successful? I've never heard of the Golden Rule store. Well, I would say he was successful because that name changed somewhere along the way. And today there's about 1,100 JCPenney stores in America, and James Cash Penny, the boy who had holes in his shoes, the boy who wore rags, the boy that nobody cared for, went from rags to riches, and he died a multimillionaire. We like stories like that, don't you? I like it. That's why I shared it with you. But I got a better story, though, one that's far more captivating to me, because the Bible says that he who was rich for our sakes became poor. And just to be real honest with you, as simple as that sounds, it's much harder to grasp that he who had everything decided to be one who had nothing. He was born in the womb of a peasant girl, born in a stable among manure and cobwebs, laid in a manger, a feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth that were made from the rags of peasantry. He never owned a home. He had to sail on borrowed boats. He had to ride on borrowed animals. He said on one occasion, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. When he rode into Jerusalem, it was on a borrowed donkey. And when he went to the cross, he took the only thing that he owned, which was his clothing, and they even took that away from him. And when he died, where did they put him? In a borrowed tomb. It's an incredible journey, isn't it? From riches to rags. But last, he journeyed from being God alone to becoming both God and man. Think about this one for a little bit, and we'll let the theologians hash all of that out, because to be quite honest with you, I still can't wrap my mind around how an infinite God can take on finite flesh. How does a God who's outside of time step into time? I don't understand all of that. I don't understand how an omniscient God who knows everything, that's what omniscient means, becomes a baby and starts at the beginning. It would seem. I don't understand how all of that works together, I'll be honest with you. But the more I read about it, the more mysterious it is to me. But I can assure you of this. I believe Jesus is the God-man. He is 100% God, and he is 100% human. And to try to squash either of those categories, you do a disservice to who Christ is. And so even when you're thinking about when Christ was tempted, it used to be, I kind of thought, well, of course he didn't sin. He was God, right? But when you say that, then you're undermining the human factor of God. And I've gotten all kinds of debates with people about, could Jesus have sinned? They call it impeccatory or peccatory or something like that. Anyhow, could Jesus have sinned? You know, he was God. He could have sinned. But I say, well, he was human as well. So he could have in the flesh. So the way I get to people is I say, well, can God die? Anybody know the answer? Can God die? You're unsure now. Well, Jesus did. Is Jesus God? Well, how did he die? Well, he took on flesh. But how does God die? I don't get it. He doesn't die. Of course, he rose from the grave, but there's the human and the divine are mixing and mingling together. You want a theological word, perichoresis. Go look that one up. And it's this mingling together of divine and humanity. How does it work? I don't know, but I believe it's true. He is 100% God, 100% man. And we'll let the theologians figure it out. Martin Luther said this. He said, the mystery of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. And study as we may and think upon it as long as we can, yet when it's all said and done, there's a mystery that's there. That he could be fully God and yet fully man. At the incarnation, of course, incarnate means in flesh. That's what it just sounds better. But incarnation is just in flesh. When he took on flesh, just like we have, how did he do it? I don't know, but he did. I don't know what went through Mary's heart, but how strange it must have been as she gave birth to this little child, red and wrinkled, wrapped in the shreds of cloth from her own garments of peasantry. As Mary held this little baby and he cries, and did she look down and think, this is the Son of the Most High? I wonder what all went through her mind. As she counted his little fingers, as every mother does, did she realize these were the hands that flung the stars into space? The hands that created the world in which she lived, the hands that would one day be nailed to a cross. As she counted every little toe on this little baby, did she realize these were the feet that would be one day nailed to the cross for her sins? Did she realize, as she heard him cry, that this voice was the voice that spoke worlds into existence? That the whimper of this little child, that this voice was the voice of one who at his word could calm the stormy seas and could cast out legions of devils. He could raise the dead, heal the sick, cause blinded eyes to see at the power of his voice. And yet here she is holding this little baby, and he cries and is helpless and dependent like any other baby would be. He journeyed all the way to our humanity. So I just finish with this. Why did he do it? Why did he make the journey? Because I've thought about it before, and I know Pastor Heath this morning kind of talked about if he was God, how he would do things, and he would have done things differently. And I'm glad Pastor Heath's not God, aren't you? And you can be thankful I'm not God, because sometimes I think along the same lines as what Pastor Heath. If I was God, how would I have done it? And I can tell you, I guess because we're all born wanting our own way, and we all have a little self-centered streak in us. If I was God, I don't know that I'd have made that journey that he made. Of course, again, we're speaking as if God has selfishness in him, and he doesn't. But why would he do this? Why did he take the trip? There's a story that was told, Glenn Griffith told this story years ago, a preacher from a bygone day, and he tells this unforgettable story about a time when a World War II event was taking place, and the American soldiers were facing off with the Germans, and in between the armies of the Americans and the Germans, there was this area that was called No Man's Land. And night had fallen, and for a period of time, battle had ceased, the gunfire had all stopped, and there was the lieutenant on the American side. He had taken a group of soldiers, and they had devised a plan, and they were going to try to sneak across No Man's Land and catch the Germans by surprise. And so they began their subtle endeavor to go across No Man's Land, when all of a sudden, as they got partway across, a flare went up from the enemy side, and it lit up the sky like daylight just for a moment. And then there was a bunch of gunfire that followed. Everything went dark again. And of course, all the American soldiers, they fled back into the trenches as quickly as they could. But there was one man who didn't make it back. One of the privates, he had been shot, and he was not mortally wounded, but he was laying out there in No Man's Land and was not able to make it back. And so when the whole group got back to the trenches, they looked around and they realized one of their men didn't make it. And the lieutenant turned and he said to one of his soldiers, "Here, hold my rifle." And he said, "I'm gonna try to get him." And the lieutenant crawls up out of that trench, and he begins to make his way as silently as he could. And he's crawling on the ground and making his way towards that young man, that private who had fallen. And as he got to the private, another flare went up into the sky from the enemy side. And the lieutenant grabbed the young man and pulled him. And as they were going into the trenches, of course, more gunfire came as that flare went up into the sky. And the two men fell into the trench. And the young man who the lieutenant went after was saved. But when that gunfire came, the lieutenant was mortally wounded. And that young man, he stares in unbelief that this lieutenant who had just given his life, and the words that the young man said was, "Oh, why? Why did he come after me? Why did he come to save me? I'm only a private. He was a lieutenant. Why did he come for me?" And he kept repeating, "I'm just a private. He's a lieutenant. Why?" I want to tell you why it was that Jesus Christ made his journey from heaven to earth, from eternity to time, why he made his journey from riches to rags, and why he who had only been God became both God and man. And by the way, forever the form of the Trinity was altered at that moment. Now God identifies with man fully for all the rest of time, all right? That's another subject. But you know why he did it? John says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called sons of God." God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. And although in our broken state, in our sinful state, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Why? Because he loves us. Does that make anybody happy tonight? Maybe I've tarried too long. You're all ready for the party. I don't. You know why Jesus came? Because he loves you. You know why he has called us to go to a lost and dying world around us? Is because he loves them. And as we experience the love of God, you know what he wants to do in our hearts? He wants to give us a love for broken people that we can run to the messes too and be there for people and share the love of Jesus, who's able to transform a life, who's able to mend brokenness. Right? He came for us. He came because he loves you. The angel said to Mary, "Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And this Christmas season, as you make your journeys wherever you go for Christmas, don't forget about the incredible journey that he made 2,000 years ago when he left eternity and he stepped into time And he gave his life so that we might have life everlasting. Peter Larson said it this way. He said, despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance, and he left through a door marked no exit. I thought he said that well. And I'm so thankful that Christ made the journey for you and for me. Will you stand with me tonight? Let's just pray together, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Heath, actually. But let's pray together. Father, as we approach this Christmas season, we just thank you for the gift of your Son. And Jesus, I thank you that you came to this world to save sinners, all so that we can have life eternal. We're so grateful today, Lord. And I just pray that in the busyness of all that's going on in these days, and there's a lot on the calendar this next week, a lot of things happening, but I pray that in the midst of it all that we will stop and ponder this incredible journey that you made in our behalf, and that we would bow at the manger one more time and that we would worship. God, don't allow us to get so busy this Christmas season to where we don't take time to really worship you and to ponder what Christmas is all about. And I just pray that in our hearts may we truly be thankful and grateful for what this season really stands for and what we're really celebrating. But God, we love you, and we just thank you for your grace reaching out to us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I guess you can sit down. Pastor Heath is coming.